I gotta say, I feel at ease now. Now that I'm recording. Came home some minutes ago and had this urge or this compulsive need to record. Need for Speed, right? In this text from Hunter Thompson, he said, "If it's faster, I'll buy it." And it's always gets faster. Always gets me aroused when I'm talking, but also relaxed. And yeah, I was already aroused on the day, maybe today, this day again at work. And yeah, it's such a bright day out here. This is Table Set Yourself, yeah, number 9. And it's a bright day, the sky is blue, and there's no worries, right? I felt that yesterday's episode was not good enough, not up to my standards, and I need to tackle that again. Nachliefern, nachrüsten, nachbessern which means something like, give it another try, another round, and see what you get out of it. Yeah, was not my best form, was not my top condition, yesterday, but today I think this is a whole new day. And it's Wednesday, 3rd of May. And yeah, I just gotta tell you about this feeling with the podcast every time. It's also in my German political podcast that gets all the pressure out when I finally can start recording. And it was a long day at work until 5 or half past 5 I was working. But never mind, I knew I had to get home and do this. And yeah, although also wanted to look you in the eye, and yeah, but didn't make it, although I wrote it last night in my in this show notes. Yeah, would be a great idea, but never get quite there. Oh yeah, I was looking there, here and there, but it's always exactly always you're frightened also of those beautiful things. And this maybe we can tackle today, this difficult topic of what is so frightening, the material sphere. Also, a look into one's eyes is really a is something material, because it's connected to the physical body and to our physical beings, and need to be there in those surroundings, physically connected at least, and not just virtually through the bits and bytes over the internet. And yeah, this was my main goal today, which I missed, but there's no rush, right? Main goal was catching these eyes and saying, yeah, but still, it was so nice at the office, and I felt like, yeah, there was this, I don't know, this Katz and Maus Spiel, Katz und Maus Spiel is in German a very nice metaphor or saying, saying that, yeah, cat and the mice are playing. And I simply want to express that, yeah, I want to be the mouse and want to be catched and whatever, torn apart with your Krallen, Garras. Well, this is a nice word, I have to look this up. Krallen, what the cat scratches its enemies, those birds or mice. And yeah. And still, I had this feeling today. Wow, this was really special, and there were all these little signs, and wow, it was like, yeah, shouldn't ma even maybe be talking about this. Because this was too exciting, can't be expressed, and therefore I need to ground myself again with this discourse. And yeah, just want to be the mouse, and here maybe I can play like I can be strong, can be a cat, attacking cat. I'm wandering through the field and looking for some bird or mouse that could, well, could feel appetite to not only eat this. This is the crucial point, that also cats and those animals, I once read that this is a wholly different drive. The Spieltrieb is the drive to play. That's why cats play with mice before they kill them. Also my cat, that is sadly he died this December, but he used to catch a lot of mice and yeah, always playing with them then in our house, bringing them back and bringing them to the bathroom, and they're making a bath of blood. Well, sometimes there was blood. Also birds he brought there and playing with them. And this is crucial point to understand, which totally sounded reasonable to me. Einleuchten, it shined right into my head. It sounded so reasonable that this is a wholly different drive. This is not a drive for hunger or appetite, drive to eat, which is of course also very basic drive in animals and humans. But the Spieltrieb, the drive to play, is somehow disconnected from it, and he maybe he doesn't even feel hungry, but still feels like you want to catch a mouse and want to play a little, play Katzenmaus. And exactly, this then can sometimes get, can extend, and surely not so pleasing for them poor mice, but and this is exactly my point. Different types of drives, different angles, and it's wholly different satisfaction. And well, it's pretty much noise around here. And I could maybe go on for this like this forever, maybe not forever, but maybe, sometime. But still, this pressure, and really, therefore, we need to lower the pressure, tension, as I said, and look into the eye or talk. This would be such a relief, I think. I'm sure, for me at least, such a relief, and this is all coming back now. This part that was missing and was so valuable in autumn when we still had our conversations, and so here I'm grounding myself and associating freely. And first of all, I want to talk about this aggressiveness, but please, dear listeners, keep this in mind, what I said about cat and mice and this Spieltrieb, the drive to play, or the drive for food, or drive to eat. This we'll come back to this topic later when we talk about love in humans, which is also somehow similar, right? There's two participants, and they're also playing, but they're different types of satisfactions, or different angles, different types of lust, and so what I want to talk now is aggressiveness. Also I feel towards today, well, towards my friends a little, or my parents also, because on the weekend there's this big there's some Ausflug, a get together, and an excursion to Switzerland again to visit my brother, and I simply can't take it. I've had enough now, already been to Switzerland in those past months, and I feel that I shouldn't have done all this. I have too much contact with my friends, and I can't get rid of them yet. Sorry, because I can't look them in the eye and say, that I don't want to see them, or also it's this fear of missing out. Of course, you fear, you feel, oh, when I'm not participating at this event, then I might miss out or be disconnected. But this is exactly what I want, and maybe this is because of love. Also, when you fall in love, you feel like, yeah, I want to enjoy and encapsulate yourself in this bubble of love and only think about this lover and you, and this is the whole world, there's two people, and this is this angle of the world of two. But it's not that good, even maybe, to have too much contact to other people. And I felt this very sharply those last month, that I should have really isolated myself. And I tell myself that every once in a while I get this feeling, but then again I'm too sluggish to really fulfill my wishes and my inner needs. And this is really a deep need, I think, to be alone. Well, maybe not wholly alone here with my roommates. At least you can see or talk sometimes to someone, but of course I don't do that so often as I'm shy. But then with the lovers, yeah, I think this could be something beautiful. Is a nice word in German, Zweisamkeit, because Einsamkeit is loneliness, but Einsam is lonely. Like the first part of the word is ein, eins, like one, but then Zweisam simply takes that and puts a zwei, two, in front, and therefore it means, yeah, you're kind of lonely, but lonely as two people. You're two people and self-sufficient. You're independent from the rest of the world, and this is, yeah, sufficient. So hopefully not suffocating. Well, of course this can also be too much then after some years. Maybe when you spent those years in this love cave, then maybe it'd be suffocating. But yeah, Zweisamkeit. And I have this feeling also, to prepare oneself for love, you have to think really deep, right? Like those chess players, they come up with a move and you have to do that and be confronted, and also with all this hurt and pain and feeling, oh my God, this is not going the way I expected or wanted. And this, I'm now really in a trap. And yeah, therefore, in this situation, I think one has to be really isolated to create an own, well, chamber of thoughts where your mind is at ease and can wander. And yeah, I didn't do that. There were all those trips to Switzerland in those last month, and I now regret it. But I also get the point of it, because all those months I was hiding from myself my real intentions. I was hiding that, and yeah, because I recorded this episode, me and my people, this spontaneous episode, yeah, was also too much pressure and work, or because of traveling to Athens with this friend, so much pressure, and generally also because of this situation, falling in love, and then my ex-girlfriend, difficult conversations. And difficult situation that she went to Peru and I didn't accompany. Well, sorry, people need to have internet here. This communal house is so shitty. We don't even have internet here half of the time. Now I need to make a hotspot to look this up. And yeah, so let's see. And I wanted to accompany her, I say, or didn't do it, and now kind of regret it, because yeah, I felt the relationship was already so that weak, and I thought, oh no, need to foster it first before we can make such steps and I can get to know her family. But still, I think now it was a mistake and I should have gone simply in November. But never mind, this past is the past, and there occurred so many beautiful things. Also, you can't change it, because that then you would change also all those beautiful things that occurred. So already yesterday, I think this quite often, that already yesterday is so far away, only it doesn't seem this way because we're also sluggish, and this inertia takes over and makes you feel like Yeah, you don't even have a choice. But if you really were aware of all those choices you have and you make on a daily basis, even if they're just in choices like letting something happen, Duldung or something, even that, but then you have so many choices and so many paths that were gone or not gone since yesterday, and this is so much. Therefore, we say here in Schwabenland, here in the southwest, we say, "Das ist der Bachner." It's down the river, right? Maybe that's the same saying in English. But yeah, "Das ist der Bachner." So, yeah. And yeah, I was hiding my real thoughts, hiding what I was really capable of doing, because already this episode had shown it and I had catapulted, well, maneuvered myself, I'd thrown myself into space, maybe like this Eminem song Spacebound. Yeah, like a rocket. And I had this feeling in Athens then, because this w was the day before we w flew to Athens, and then this feeling, this something so special occurred, but I can't even name it. I can't even say there are all these private podcasts, and then there's this one podcast that was not that private that could be published. And yeah, I knew this should be published, but w to what should it lead? I should, of course, start a podcast in English, I thought, but what would this podcast be about? Would I be talking to John and Adam and trying to, yeah, penetrate in this no agenda bubble and maybe make friends there? Or yeah, it could be really, because this podcast is so big, the no agenda, because it's so, it has maybe a million listeners, maybe not on each episode, but yeah, it says thousands, tens of thousands of listeners each episode, and therefore could also maybe, yeah, well, could help my podcast get famous. But this is not even the point for me, right? It's at this point, yeah, looking for love and not for this kind of friendship or glory. This is also glory when you're famous and everyone's talking about it. But this is exactly the point. I can't take this, because then everyone says to me, "Wow, doing such a great job," and this will be too much pressure for me again. Then I won't be able to record the next episode, and everyone will say, "Wow, you're the man. It's so crazy, impossible, unthinkable. You really dare to speak the unthinkable in your podcasts." And there I would say, "No. Why are you saying this? I just want to be a normal person," like in this Eminem song from number 7. "Beautiful," he said, "yeah, just point me to the closest restroom." And this is then also my feeling, "No, I want to be that special." And exactly, therefore it's also good. As a side effect of this whole love focus in the podcast is also a side effect that it prevents you from giving too much, caring too much about the opinion of other people, and really developing my talent of speaking this way, where I feel, yeah, I want to be heard and listened to by this one special person, maybe also by my ex-girlfriend. But that's really enough, and this is the ring of fire, as I said, and this is really the only two that count, really. And of course, there's other people, but this doesn't feel so real. It feels surreal, right? It feels surreal that, yeah, maybe, you know, on one hand, there are real other people, but on the other hand, they're not relevant, and yeah, the whole world is very big and quite impossible to oversee, and but it doesn't count also. All people are more or less the same. And therefore, it's better to concentrate maybe and have this really sharp focus and say, "Wow, this is the person," and doesn't even have to be, well, that special. No one really knows what is our character. We're all like this Robert Musil novel, Ohne Eigenschaften, Mann ohne Eigenschaften. We're all men and women without characteristics in these modern times. So what I say, it's not about those characteristics. Also, of course, you can feel so dazzled, overwhelmed by certain manners or movements, or the tone of the voice of your lover, but still, I say the singularity comes out of the situation, or simply, I don't know where, but one day it's there, and I feel this is so singular, and this person is like a mirror to me, and makes my whole life look in a different angle, and now I look on myself, and it's a whole different angle. I couldn't even consider this before, that this could be possible, such a love. And yeah, it's crazy, because I feel also this tension has to be lowered in the office, because it's so much, and I feel it's crazy, and it's not conceivable to think all the time like this, that this person is, yeah, how can this be, this is such a special person, thinking of where she walks in those streets, and someday, yeah, there's so many thousands of people walking down the streets, back and forth, from the train station over the main avenue and then to where we work. But still, how can this be? This one person is just so special, and always wondering, well, when and where might she be walking, and what could she be thinking then? And oh man, hopefully I can get this expressed and told, that I only wonder if, yeah, you could stay here and not go back so soon to your homeland, and it's really here where I feel I need you. And but exactly, this is wandering off also. Yeah, and exactly, this is also not so conceivable. I mean, at some point you, yeah, it gets too much and too crazy, and you are simply worried also for my health, mental health, and saying this can't be healthy. But on the other hand, I feel quite healthy today. I slept a lot and didn't smoke much, and really feel like, yeah, I'm not that vicious, I'm already a better person now after yesterday what I said about the new life, La Vita Nuova, and I feel like this is totally happening. And yes, I don't even know what I'm doing here. It's like I said yesterday, this is all so much more exciting also than my other episodes, but those were already quite exciting, but they didn't have consequences, right? You send them out and you say, yeah, of course I should also popularize so that other communists at least can listen to them, but this is the point. Then again, I wanted to make sure I can speak that freely and not be impressed by what anyone would think about me and my podcast, and therefore I had to stay under the radar, not be detected by other communists, or only this one big role model, Malon Kron. And yeah, this is already meant a lot to me that he approved my podcast. And yeah, this is the same as in love, right? You don't have to be cheered by the mass, by the crowd, but only by those special people. You feel this maybe intellectual bond towards them and feel like, wow, what they can do with their minds. I want to be like that, and I want to make such great books like he wrote. And this, I wanted to make sure that this wouldn't happen, wouldn't interfere in my thoughts, then what would other people think? Therefore, under the radar. And yeah, because I know even if one person says something, a compliment, there's always the socialist entanglement, and it always has deep consequences then. And maybe those consequences are not that good, because then we want to show that you're not that special, like what I expressed about Nepo and this blunder, and that one also enjoys to show to the world how dirty one is, and how you don't get together your life. Like Nepo, he maybe felt in this moment, wow, if I play such a wrong move, then it's really the way I can't get together my life. And if only I had more discipline those last weeks and studied really those openings and the games of Ding, and then it wouldn't have happened. But you want to show it all in one say. Exactly, because the whole world is looking, or because it's so important, his lover, the chessboard, the chess game is ready for him and is saying him, yeah, you could be the champion, could win the championship, but then when it counts and it's all so important, it's a tense situation, then he fails. And yeah, I feel this, it's a critical topic to think about later on, right after solving this love topic. Maybe this more becoming more popular and more loved by everyone. And yeah, but with that, I need to follow up and close up this arc. Well, need to close this up. This arc of thoughts that I was hiding all this and not even considering how I could go on with the podcast, but simply, yeah, you also want to sink into this depression or this sad mood when, yeah, there was this little exchange with you, dear colleague, on Christmas, and then after that, you, yeah. Blocked me and then wanted to be so sad and depressed and yeah, not even, but still maybe this is the Freud unbewusste, the unconsciousness, that still maybe I made this whole plan in my subconsciousness and I knew there could be a chance and I just didn't know how. And yeah, this is of course the most natural way for me in my podcast. Everything is so easy. But it's of course not the whole truth, as I said. This materialistic goal is still of course very, very, well, it's the most important. And materialistic, exactly, this is not referring to sex, as I can maybe explain later on, that the real sex for me is looking into each other's eyes, and I explained this already sometimes in my German podcast, but this is really such a crucial moment, and I feel a lot of times I blunder it, or at least at the street, when I see pretty girls, I always, or many times, don't have the courage, or didn't have the courage, because now don't even look or don't even care, but it's then you don't have the courage and say, and not even that courageous as to look straight and say, yeah, this is also already a sign. And but it's this whole pressure, this has also to do with sex mainly, I think, in this whole sexualized discourse in the media that I talked about, this dialectics of underfucked and oversexed, as also picked up this term from Robert Faller, that on the material side there's not enough sex that we experience in our everyday life, but then again in the superstructure, what we hear about other people's lives and in the media and the literature, films, there's so much sex, and it's like it's an element that's everywhere, it's present in everyone's life, and it's normal to have sex, and it's not normal if you can't get that. And this has to do, yeah, this makes it so hard even to look one in the eye, I said this because there's all those thoughts, and what am I really, what could this lead, is this really, this is also scaring, as I said, to have sex also for men, although but yeah, it also can hurt as men, maybe not, maybe women have more experience that yeah, sex can also be hurtful. And but as a man, I think more for psychological reasons, it can be something hurtful, or even to think about something hurtful. But what I want to say here is that this is crucial, the material line. The line between materialism and idealism, and there has to be a synthesis. We can't side with either one and be that, yeah, dualistic or monolistic. And yeah, but what I gotta say here is that I need to pick up more speed and say that it doesn't even matter. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I think I can't decide or don't have a real will, and I need to really decide now what is this, what I wanted to talk about, because soon my energy is going to be used up and I can't keep going. But I feel today I have such a high energy level, and I felt this in my body today all day long, and felt that, yeah, these episodes, the last episodes, were quite okay, but still, after number six, I felt there's something left to be expressed, and I need to get there, and didn't get there yet. And there's exactly so much to do, so much to express. And maybe this will also make me calmer and make me feel like finally I can be worthy of this lover. And this is so hard, as I said. This is puts in a so crazy place, and why is this one person so important? And this can't be really explained rationally. And wow, I mean, where to go from here? There's no real plan. Therefore, it was the right plan to not make a plan, also with my podcast. And this is all subconscious, unconsciously planned, maybe, but it's all spontaneous. And yeah, I want you, I wrote down here. It's also nice in Spanish to say I love you, because it means te quiero, which also means I want you. So I want you or I love you is the same, and this is so nice because I never can decide and know what I want. But at least in love, you know that then, that you want this other person, or want to be with it, and it's nothing more needed than, yeah, than this free addition or topping on your day. And it's yeah, and it shows it's not such a straight line between friendship and love, and you just want to be with that person and talk to it. But it also, there is an intermingling love feeling, and this is all connected and interlaced. And yeah, it's, and in this sense, I want you. And yeah, it's, but then there's this whole discourse of this adult world about sex, and yeah, this adult world is not so sane today. Therefore, this becomes a little aggressive, or yeah, as I said, this male-dominated discourse. There, it's always important to brag about sex, which must di didn't even have to be that bad, I think, but it would be not that bad if women would do that too, and then it could be equal at least. But that's that way, that only for men is real, this is really bad, and creating a bad situation in society. And yeah, beauty. So yeah, I saw a lot of beauty, of course, today in you, and was a little unsure, because what I've written today at last night in episode number 7, and there were some compliments, but I felt like, oh man, what could this be? But okay, this is going too far, but still, it's expressing, shouldn't use that word often, but expressing my whatever Spieltrieb. It's also a drive, exactly, here we are. It's not a drive for sex, but a drive for tenderness. And yeah, this cozy, cozying up and being cozy and cuddling and stroking and caressing. These words I learned now But this coziness could be a whole independent drive. Gemütlich, well, it's not maybe coziness, but yes, it has to do with it. And more tenderness, or I like this word very much in German, Zärtlichkeit. Zärtlich. And yeah, here it says affection, endearment, but this is not as good as the German word. And in general, yeah, now speaking much English, I think I like now English more, or it's cooler at least to speak. But some words in German are better, like this one, Zärtlichkeit. Zärtlich. Fondness. Okay, fondness is quite good also. Or endearment. Okay, endearment. So, dear, yeah. Dear cat, or dear, yeah. Endearing. Yeah. Those are maybe separate spheres, but still, I feel that this whole sex area is interfering everywhere, and has to do with the societal discourse. It has to do with this, that it puts a lot of pressure onto me and maybe all of us, and it's interfering there, and always this thought is present. Also this thought that this is the real thing, because in capitalism, how can you know what makes you sure of being rich or being happy? You have to have a lot of things that are countable. You can count this, right, having sex, but not only that is so nice and simple to count. Also, I think it's such an intense experience, and there everything is condensed. It's not that complicated as maybe in social life, and you don't know what really happened between that person and you. You felt a mutual affection, but what is that really? It's not something proven, right? That's the thing about sex. It's the proof to love, and it's the proof. And I don't like this, because I think, well, yeah. As I said, first we ought to talk about it, and your position is totally valid, and I also want to bow my head and say, yeah, this is as you like it, or at least we can find an intermediate position. But it doesn't matter. What is the fact of the matter from my point of view is that it's too interlaced, this connection is too deep nowadays between sex and love. And love, yeah, this is something hard to construct. Also, it's a play of imaginations, and also then a real relationship is also work, also pleasant, but at times maybe hard work, or even, yeah, you have to plan things like a trip, a journey, or plan to see each other on the weekend, and this is all taking up time, and also so nice, of course, and pleasant, but it's also something you have to do and have to find a way to interact and coexist and find this place, this mutual harmony and respect. And yeah, then I feel, of course, we feel also insecure in this liberal market world. Of course, there's a lot of insecurity, because you could be thrown out the next day, right? If you make a mistake as a worker, and there's always this reserve army waiting to replace you. And therefore, you don't want to be thrown out in love, and want to say, yeah, it has to be so sure, and also to have only sex with this person. But as I see it, yeah, I don't know how this could be lived, but as I see it, the field of sex is wider and is more, yeah, simply wider, and there could be a lot of sex experiences, but this doesn't mean that you would love each person you had sex with. And of course, yeah, I understand this, that my ex-girlfriend then said, but then she'd be frightened to fall in love. And therefore, it's better to not have sex with other people, because then you could fall in love and it could break up the first relationship. And yeah, but this can't be a real argument from my point of view. Of course, this will always happen, and this will endanger and feel bad in this relationship. But yeah, still, you have to talk about it and find a way that could be adequate for both. And but yeah, I feel like this is a different drive. I feel exactly a different kind of drive that develops and emerges there when you talk about sex. And yeah, it's also unpleasant to express it here, and also in this November cast, because they talk freely, and this is maybe a little swinish, but I also want to be like this, because yeah, there is this male discourse about having sex and stuff. And I, of course, never talk like this in personal conversations, but therefore, at least I want to talk like this in my private podcasts. And I never had a lot of sex, but never those lots of experience. But as I said the one before that, this was all preparation. And also, it's good to prepare a lot in love, because it's such a complicated task and a game like chess. So complicated, you have to prepare for years and years. And therefore, yeah, it's good to have sex, of course, but also if you would have too much sex, as Michel Houellebecq wrote, then you would become maybe unable to love, because it's all exchangeable. You know too much, and this lust, yes, it's all replaceable, and you can't even love anyone anymore. But yeah, I don't know if this is really true. It depends, I guess. It depends all on this connection between love and sex. And yeah, these are different kinds of drives, I feel. But of course, the sexual drive might be a very basic one, the most basic, like also hunger. And but we cannot really say what this biological drive is. It's not possible to separate it from the socially institutionalized drive, and therefore I say it becomes sex, and this whole field becomes, well, it becomes something very ambivalent and very hurtful also. And love seems easier, but seems also complicated, because so romantic, and one special person that this is so special and so valuable that you maybe don't even dare to take a real step. And I don't even know what I'm what kind of theory am I constructing here. These are just my sporadic thoughts, because I felt like, yeah, this was the thing I needed to talk about. Also this Katz and Maus spiel, also that it's nice to take it slow, and also that I, as I expressed last time, I'm also afraid, not only of sex, of course having sex and being that intimate and showing your body and all these kinds of maybe shameful parts and shameful facts, behaviors, characteristics of your body. Yeah, this is also something traumatizing. But not only this is the frightening part in love, also this, exactly, this is what I wanted to talk. Also, this thing, is it gonna be as good as I wanted it? Is it gonna be what it could be? And be up to this potential I feel is inside it. Schlummern. Da schlummert das Potenzial. This is a spectacular word, because schlummern is like sleeping, like a baby that is sleeping. And it's also the potential inside you that's sleeping. So slumber, Snooze, yeah, snooze. Nap, drowse. This potential that is slumbering in this potential relationship, but will it really be up to this? And I feel, yeah, this is also inhibiting me, and it would be better to simply go on and yeah, tackle this and start, but whatever might be the outcome, it doesn't matter, it can't be so perfect. And on the other hand, yeah, I feel it will be perfect, doesn't even matter which side it goes, but it's perfect either way, and this is already the perfection I feel today. And yeah, and yeah, also this delta, also this special feeling now of being in love or falling in love and not really knowing what the other person is thinking. Well, yes, I'm making my assumption, but still, maybe those are pretty keen assumptions, and that you also could be entangled a little bit. This Verstrickung des Herzens. And our hearts could be entangled a bit, maybe, like a shoelace also. But, then this is also a nice feeling of being on this mountain ridge and not deciding and saying, yeah, let's keep on going. And wow, this puts me on such a pressure. Like last Friday when I recorded episode number 6, I felt such an immense pressure, even more than today, of course, because yeah, it was the whole week, and this whole week that I didn't know what I was doing with all those episodes, and this intense tension then. And you feel like this is also a one-of-a-kind experience, and you want to hold on to this and want to get the maximum out of it. But how is this going to be possible if later on you already would be in a relationship with that person? It would be nothing special to see her, and yeah, still of course would be a topping on my day and would make my day so much brighter and healthier also. But you wouldn't have this pressure and this feeling, yeah, now I need to record a podcast and bring it all out. Oh man, hopefully I can say the right words and not ruin this, that maybe those flowering feelings that she also had for me, I don't ruin them. Exactly, this pressure. But I say there's nothing to fear here, because there are going to be other things that are going to put even more pressure on you in love. And it's not like this, yeah, we have to live this love. And I'm a lot like this, drawn to this potential imaginations and feeling, wow, this can't be up to the standard, or it can't always be that nice as it seems now. But yeah, I think it can be, or it can be even much nicer, as I can imagine now, because now what am I really living? This life, yeah, this life I'm living alone is, well, not that bad, but it's also not that excelling. It's not, no, it's, I feel this can't even be my real life if I'm not with someone and don't have someone also to give as a present. Everything I do, of course, this art and podcast and writing also makes me feel like, yeah, I don't want to be like this. And these artists, like Wagner is always told that his wife Cosima was a big inspiration for him, but he also said he wanted her far, and yeah, that only then he can inspire, I think, can be inspired. I think, yeah, that's maybe what a lot of male artists feel and felt, that on one hand they want to be with the lovers, but on the other it's better to have them far away and then they can work on their art. But I feel, yeah, I don't want to be like this. Also, I don't know what it's also could be real love on one hand, but on the other hand, could it really? Because this person then, yeah, could dedicate all this art to the person, but it's not the same as when you touch and hug and give kisses. This is some a physiological, deeply programmed behavior is programmed into us and is the mechanisms of relief of, well, I mean the mechanism, the biochemical mechanisms in your brain, how all the dopamine gets there and how special it is to feel someone else and touching your skin. And this is deeply programmed, so I think it couldn't be the same. And it's not what I want. Well, maybe now, yeah, you can savor the moment. But yeah. And I'm already getting a little tired, but I need to keep going today. I feel I have this special energy today, and I don't know what, but it also has to do with this aggressiveness I mentioned. And maybe love has also to do with this, and I like to read those theoreticians like Freud or Lacan, the French psychoanalysis. But yeah, you also have to say that I'm not that an expert in those fields, also in theory, but you still have to talk about it. Also, if you might have some misunderstanding or misconceptions about those theories, I find it so highly interesting and entertaining. And you can look at things from a different angle from reading Lacan also. Also already because of his style, like he likes like to speak and associate freely, and had a very unique rhetoric in which he gave all his seminars, and those seminars then were written down and put to paper. And yeah, this is great, but this is great there. I learned a lot also in how to speak in the podcast, maybe because there you can get this determines that it doesn't have to sound right or sound rational for everybody, but only the people that are dedicating their attention to you and following each one of your seminars, they're gonna really learn something and take something from you, even if you use very weird terms and come up with your own terms like Lacan and your own kinds of symbols and formulas. Even that's the nice thing also. I never understood those formulas, but just as a concept, it's such a great idea to introduce mathematical formulas into psychoanalysis. And I don't totally don't get it what he wants to teach us with that, but maybe he only wants to teach that you can think of it in a different manner and think of it also male female side on each side of the equation, or there's a certain operator in the middle, and yeah, or the self and the other are on the two sides. Well, it simply shows us that we can be creative and can and should come up with own abstract theories and not listen to those old reactionary patterns that are emitted by society and strangle us then, put so much pressure on us. Exactly. And with sex, I said this, that yeah, I feel a lot of pressure, and but feel this, that the field of sex is more, is wider and more varied, and yeah, you could feel this lust, this wish to have sex with a person, and you don't feel this special connection like, yeah, in love. But yeah, what is love? You gotta define it, but everyone has to define it for themselves. So each love couple has their own theory of love. That's also what Lacan used to say, and I found this hilarious because it's so great that there you have to come together and yeah, join your two theories of love that you maybe had separately. So there's a whole new theory of what real love is then in this new relationship. And I think, like, yeah, this sexual lust could be present with a lot of people, but yeah, it could be a relief, I think, to also realize that. Well, on one hand, realize, like, theoretically, in your mind, realize that this is a true feeling, and that, but there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not like you're would be a treason to your lover, that you could also feel this attraction to other people. And, well, on the other hand, also realize it, like, in really going to act on it. I think, yeah, this is something concerning traumatic, but still, I think it could be tried and could be said, yeah, this can be a nice experience and can be only sex, maybe, or only some encounters, and where sex is a part of it, and but it won't endanger this great love relationship. Also, yeah, that you want to have this delta, simply, and feel, yeah, this would even strengthen your fixed love relationship, that there you can learn other capabilities, talk to a person with another mindset, but it's clear that you want to be only with this one person you really love. But yeah, if you're together for years, of course there are going to be times where this could be a really good idea to have maybe a break, or have simply this time where you can have an affair. This delta that I want to say something about it. Delta, let me annotate this. Yeah, when I feel this connection between us is so mutual, maybe, I suspect, in a way, and it's yeah, so sacred, also so natural and genuine, and yeah, already too much, maybe, you feel, wow. But then again, yeah, it feels like too much now, because it's such a long time that we didn't talk. But then when we had those conversations, it's never too much. It's always like, yeah, we could go on for hours, and please, yeah, if only we had more time, and yeah, if only we didn't run out of topics to talk about. But it could go on forever, and never will get boring. And it's so, yeah, that in this moment we are already in this love cave, or also friendship cave. And it's, yeah, it's a holy and really mighty thing. Maybe everyone can perceive it and also be so happy for the two loving birds. A Turteltäubchen is a very nice word in German. Turteltäubchen, two birds, turtling. But, yeah, no matter who could perceive this or how this could be interpreted, this doesn't matter a bit, because this situation is the only one that counts and makes me feel so whole. And yes, hard to imagine, or hard to come up with what this is, really, like, yeah, what is this love? It's a nice verse also from this song, from number 3 by Luke Mitrani. This Turn Back the Time. It's really perfect song, I think, for this moment. And in love, it's like this, you have to listen to the moment. Only, yeah, listen to the moment. Yeah, maybe this should tell me that my moment is over. It's already been an hour it already, yeah, so much, although I feel the need to wander on and keep going, but no, this time, right, I feel like I also have to do this right and come up with this, how can I be the best person, or at least not the worst person I can be, and be like, yeah, make this love last, yeah. Not only this love, I feel, yeah, this is really now polyamorous, also to my Peruvian girl, and that this is really that proof already that polyamory is possible, at least on a theoretical level, and this, yeah, I have to be this person now. And no matter what I think I wanted to talk about, yeah, it's out of my reach now. I can't even take my mind, my eyes off this. I'm watching here the Autobahn, the big highway over there. It goes by, and it's so nice to watch the cars. It's like a river flowing. It's signaling me that everything is keeping going, and is in the flow, and yeah, what is time really? So it's a lot of pressure because it's capitalist scandation, because capitalism puts us into this place where we have to organize our time and say, yeah, this is the date, and on that date I do this and that. But when you talk like this, you can be really truthful to your inner self and can feel, wow, yeah, you're creating this world all for yourself. There's nothing else that matters, and you don't have to look into the eyes of those other people, the whole of society, and wanting to be only fitting into their view, adjusting yourself and your actions to what they expect. But no, you know that love is possible, and yeah, it's such a relief to think also of this craziness that only the view of your love and only what's going on in this brain of your love is important. It's also a big relief. And yeah, maybe this is the strategy to overcome finally this inertia, that then in love you feel like you're by this look, you're just so attached to this person. But why? Because of this interchange of glances, and there you feel nailed. I feel like you're nailed against the wall with this glance, and you have to come up with some words. You have to do something special, or at least do that, right? What can we do really special? No one. We're all just part of the machinery. No one is really a manufacturer, like in the Middle Ages. In the medieval ages, there could be a shoemaker who only made a shoe from, well, top to bottom. But today, we don't even know what we couldn't do a single thing for ourselves. Well, but still we can talk, and everyone can come up with this. Isn't this magic? And still, yeah, this talking is like entering a boat and a ship that's leaving the harbor and sailing off to ocean, and you never know where it gets, because you never know the winds. You never know which kind of wind is gonna blow, and you have to enter the boat, and then you sail off, let loose, and there you see where it can go. But yeah, with that I think I can only say that this this, I've talked myself into a kind of trance, and it's kind of a meditation, I feel. But I wanted this to end like this, because I don't know, picked up this feeling. And yeah, we need a certain distance, dear lover, all lovers, certain distance, I feel, because I don't want to collapse, right, because this love is so intense, and need to find a way or a strategy how we can work this out and make this happen, make this real and realize and materialistic. And yeah, there's a good song I wanted to play now. Yeah, exactly, this is the perfect song now for this mood I'm in, this really tranquil mood. Oh my god, is this good song by Lana Del Rey. And yeah, I don't know, will this be the perfect itinerary for our love, the perfect path, but it doesn't matter, we have to, right, get on the boat and we'll see which wind will be there, but it could be any wind, right, you have to put the sails in the right manner, and there you can see, but, or maybe sometimes you have to wait that the wind comes up again, but there are different phases, but still, you know, you're gonna enter that boat, and not like a pirate, of course, but like a, well, normal, responsible captain or co-captain, right, it's my place, I only want to be the co-captain and steuermann, maybe the one taking over the wheel, exactly. And this this is the socialist net. Yeah. I feel, yeah, I don't know if this was a good performance today, but let's listen to Lana Del Rey, and she will talk about Russian poetry also. I played that song in my German podcast already, and it was so tranquil. And talking there about politics, of course, but now today it really fits better. But still, already then it fitted good, because she is an American artist. They're talking about Russian poetry is also maybe a sign of love and mutual respect in those well, aggressive militaristic times. And yeah, what she expresses in this song is, in my interpretation, has also to do with friendship and love, and that it can't be separated really, because she's talking, singing about a couple of people, and it's like a group of friends, and Johnny is over there mixing drinks or whatever, and she's on a John Deere, on a tractor, right, like in Ukraine, might have many tractors, right, a tractor, a farm tractor, and so she's sitting there on a John Deere, so she sings. And whatever, it's so nice when you're in the socialist net and spending time with other people. But yeah, you as an individual, you wouldn't even know what to do. But this is so nice then that everyone doesn't know, and there you can spend some time together, and it's like compartir, what told me my ex-girlfriend, that this is what they call a get-together, or like a little party or brunch where they all bring food, and this is a compartir, simply means teilen, share. It's a share, yeah, and sharing is, yeah, like this, so simple, only seems so hard here. And of course I also look forward to this weekend where I can share this time with my grandmother, also my family, but on the other hand, yeah, I feel under a lot of pressure always, and it's not good, it's not so good then to also move around and have lots of tasks, because you need also this slowness, and this could be a source of power, this could feel like a battery charge again. And yeah, hopefully this will charge my battery again. Exactly. And with that, I say goodbye and good luck.
There's a picture on the wall of me on a John Deere. Jenny handed me a beer, said, "How the hell did you get there?" Oh, Oklahoma. There were flowers that were dry, sitting on the dresser. She asked me where they're from. I said, "A place I don't remember." Oh, Oklahoma. Jenny jumped into the pool. She was swimming with Nikki Lane. She said, "Most men don't want a woman with a legacy in her veins." She said, "You can't be amused. Be happy too. You can't blacken the pages with Russian poetry and be happy and let scared me. 'Cause I met a man who said he'd come back every May just to help me if I paint my banisters blue, blue banisters. Ooh. Said he'd fix my weather vane, give me children, take blue." There's a hole that's in my heart. All my women try and heal. They're doing a good job convincing me that it's not real. It's heat lightning. 'Cause there's a man that's in my past. There's a man that's still right here. He's real enough to touch, and in my darkest nights he's shining. Jenny was smoking by the pool. We were riding with Nikki Lane. I said, "I'm scared of the Santa Clarita fires. I wish that it would rain." I said, "The power of us three could bring absolutely anything except that one thing, the diamonds, the rust, and the washes away the pain. But that's okay, 'cause now when weather turns to May, all my sisters come to paint my banisters green, my blue banisters gray. Texan makes I in the bay. Chucky's making birthday cake. Chicken's running barefeet. There's a baby on the way. And now my blue banisters are green and gray." Summer comes, winter goes. Oh my.